Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Reverend John Kerrigan, Deacon of the Catholic community. It is the 32nd Sunday in Ordinary Time, and the readings are from Cycle C.
In early 2018, while visiting a crumbling housing project located outside the city of Rome, Pope Francis had an emotional encounter with some of the neighborhood children. During a question and answer session with the youngsters of St. Paul of the Cross Parish, there were the usual questions. For example, what did you want to be when you were a kid? A butcher, Francis replied, because the butcher my grandmother bought meat from had an apron with a big pocket full of money. In time, a 7-year-old boy by the name of Emanuele approached the microphone, smiling as he did. All of a sudden, he froze and said, "I can't do it." The Pope's response, "Come to me, Emanuele," he said. "Come and whisper in my ear." Sobbing at that point, the boy let Francis envelop him in a big embrace. Their heads now touching, Francis and the boy spoke privately to each other before Emanuele returned to his seat. The Pope told the crowd that he had asked Emanuele if he could share his question with everyone, and the boy agreed. And so Francis paraphrased as follows. "A little while ago, my father died. While he was not baptized and he didn't believe in God, he did have all four of his children baptized. He was a good man. Is my daddy in heaven?" The Pope's response was immediate. "Emanuele," he said, "you have inherited your father's strength. If a man was able to make a son like you, he was a good man with a good heart. God is the one who determines who goes to heaven. But think about what God is like, what kind of heart God has. He has a father's heart. And with a dad who was not a believer, but who baptized his children and gave them such bravery, do you think that God would be able to keep him far from himself?" "Emanuele, surely your father's actions pleased God very much. I encourage you to talk to your dad. Pray to your dad." Now, when you get a chance, I invite you to look at this episode on YouTube, and I challenge you to come away from it without a lump in your throat. During the month of November, we often turn our thoughts to those who've gone before us into everlasting life. For example, on the first day of the month, we celebrate the Feast of All Saints, remembering all those who enjoy the fullness of life in heaven, family members and friends, all those who've preceded us in death. On November 2nd, the Feast of All Souls, we call to mind all who still long to experience the fullness of everlasting life. The same theme of these November days winds its way through this challenging set of readings that the Church has given us today. In both the drama in the Book of Maccabees, as well as Luke's account of the verbal parrying between the Sadducees and Jesus, the subject of victory over death and the promise of unending life appear again and again. The crucified Jesus, alive in God and graciously, vigorously present to the power of the Holy Spirit, is a source of hope found at the center of our Christian faith. So also is our belief that after we die, we will rise. Now, for pragmatic folks like you and me, that second source of hope, that we, like Jesus, will rise, is a much more difficult one to accept. Our Christian faith is the response to these propositions or truths that can appear to make no sense at all. Yet in returning to them time and again, we proclaim a faith of life everlasting, and in doing so, discover an antidote to feelings of discouragement and despair. And just how do today's readings relate to that brief encounter between Pope Francis and Emanuele? We're reminded that our God is a God of life, always at work, even in the midst of pain. You and I have no magic key to unlock the future. However, we do have the gracious presence of a living God, forever searching for us within the tangle of our lives and in the shadows of our troubled world. Francis consoles Emanuele, and in turn each of us, by assuring us that our God is a merciful and loving one, who yearns for the pleasure of our company. I often forget that message. I tend to get wrapped up in obsessing about the theology of resurrection and life everlasting. And it's at those times that I have to remind myself that perhaps the God I imagine is too small. So while you and I can sometimes forget that God is God, let's for a moment focus our attention on the story found in today's reading from Maccabees. These sons of Abraham demonstrate an incredible trust in the Lord and what he would do for each of them. After all, in taking his last breath, one of the brothers proclaims, "The King of the universe will raise us up to an everlasting life." Likewise, in today's gospel passage, Jesus talks about a God of relationship as he responds to the interrogation of the Sadducees about seven brothers and a woman who in turn marries each of them. "Indeed," Jesus tells them, "they cannot die anymore because they are sons and daughters of God, being children of the resurrection." Whether in the Maccabean period of 165 BC, or in Jesus' time, or here in 2019, all times of too much grief, anxiety, and hopelessness, the message that God is a God of the living and not of the dead is also a summons to action. As sons and daughters of God, of the God of the resurrection, we're called to follow the way of Jesus as we've heard it unfold these past few months in the Gospel of Luke. Years ago, I saw a bumper sticker that read, "Jesus is coming, look busy." Now, there's a kernel of truth behind that rather humorous phrase. The creed that we'll recite shortly affirms our belief in the resurrection of life everlasting. It's a belief that's energized Christians for centuries. And yet, we need to be careful that our attention at Christians is not focused solely on an afterlife. Our God of the living resides in our desires and our actions, here and now. We need to see those who bear Christ to us in the present moment, even in ways that we might not recognize. For example, do we see Christ in those who come from a culture different than ours, or who belong to another economic class, a different generation or race, or who hold fast to a philosophy of life that's at variance with our own? This past week, we heard the tragic news about the killing of 3 American women and 6 children in Mexico. In addition to mourning their deaths, I was reminded that over 250,000 Mexican citizens have also lost their lives to the drug wars over the past decade. These deceased women and children, as well as the hundreds of thousands who've gone before them, are the unrecognized bearers of the presence of Christ in your life and mine. In what ways are we in relationship with them, in solidarity with each of them? And also, in what ways are we making efforts to address the larger causes of these tragedies? In the encounter between Pope Francis and Emanuele, Francis calls the boy's father a good man. Why? Because of what he did. Clearly, he was a loving father to his children and possessed faith enough to consecrate the 4 of them to God in baptism. When all is said and done, it is our disposition and our actions in cooperation with the Spirit of Jesus, the living one, that ensures what has already taken place in Jesus will also take place in each one of us.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tommaso and Sheen Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at web.stanfordcatholic.org or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.